The Paquita Centre was set up in 2015, and it was around the same time as the Modern Slavery Act was introduced in the UK. And the idea of the centre was to conduct research that would have an impact on policy and practice. And also, because we're in an educational institution, really importantly, to provide education for practitioners who work in the sector and also for survivors of modern slavery.
How does the Catholic nature of the centre influence the work it does?
Being a part of a Catholic university in the UK has been a really strong influence in terms of the way in which we conduct our work. I mean, obviously, we've got access to Catholic networks, but I think also just in terms of the kind of values of the university that we bring into all of the research that we do, very much around human dignity, inclusivity and respect.
Who is being trafficked in the world today? And who is doing the trafficking?
I mean, that is such a big question, and it's really, really hard to answer, because there are people being trafficked within most countries in the world. So people who are native to countries being trafficked within their country, and then people being trafficked across borders. So we run a kind of education programme for survivors, and I can say that in the past few years we have had people from Angola, Guyana, Albania, Vietnam, Philippines, Nigeria, China. You know, I mean, you kind of name a nationality, and we have supported them. And also in the research I do, I did a big project with the University of Nottingham, and we interviewed 96 people, and those people were from everywhere. They were just from everywhere across the world, and they'd ended up in the UK.
What sort of efforts are being made, either domestically or internationally, to combat human trafficking, and how successful are they?
It's really challenging, because it's really, really complex, actually. And traffickers, because you asked in the other question about who's doing the trafficking. I mean, you have a mixture of obviously organised crime groups who are doing it, but you've also got very disorganised groups of people who are engaged in human trafficking, who just take advantage of people who are in vulnerable situations, so people who've been displaced due to conflict, poverty, etc., etc., gender-based violence, people trying to escape some kind of problem in their lives. So in terms of combating it, there are so many groups of people around the world, from religious communities like this, the Santa Marta group, which you might know about already, to civil society, police, etc., etc. But because the traffickers are very good at adapting to situations, it kind of evolves all the time. So I think in order to tackle it, then we have to become better at kind of being as dynamic and flexible as they're able to be. And that can be quite difficult sometimes.
And then just lastly, I was wondering if you could share some of the stories, maybe of some of the people you've worked with, the kind of things they've been through.
Okay, so just first to say is that when I'm doing my research, I never ask people about their trafficking experiences, because of the trauma they've been through, and because they've also had to tell those stories so many, many times. That being said, they do share things with me. So I've interviewed people who've been trafficked in diverse sectors of society, from the fishing industry to the sex industry to labour exploitation, criminal exploitation, for example, growing cannabis or selling drugs, and domestic servitude. And the kinds of experiences that people have been through is, obviously, if you're talking about people in the fishing industry, they are out, they're not even in a country, they're on a fishing boat in the middle of nowhere. And so anything can be done with them. They're very, very much disposable. So for them to reach dry land and to find a way to escape is a really important kind of feature of them being able to get help. Other people who are in domestic servitude, they're often people who have their visa is tied to the people that they're working for. So they're threatened, they have no passport, they're told, you know, don't go to the police about anything, because, you know, they'll just send you home, and this is their livelihood, and they're often trying to earn money for their families. There was another young woman I interviewed who was from Somalia originally, and her father very much believed in education for girls, but that became almost impossible, but he helped her to escape the country, and then he was killed. But she, of course, when she escaped the country, she's on her own. She's a young girl on her own. And then she was open to exploitation. And that is what happened to her. And she ended up in the UK.